On The Roar, the Upstate Sports Authority, 105.5 and 97.5. The Roar, where every day is game day.
Broadcasting live from the Upcountry Fiber Studios, this is 105.5 and 97.5, The Roar. Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
It's not just you. Traffic really is that bad. Walt Deptula keeps the rage on the radio so you can keep it off the road. Tune in every day from 3 to 7 p.m. right here on The Roar.
Walt Deptula Road Rage. You can get in 654-7627, 654-7627. Hey, Ramona, I just saw this. Trump was asked by Peter Ducey, when will it be safe to eat the lettuce as the parasite outbreak tied to contaminated produce continues to spread? It continues to spread, Ramona. Trump said...
That's yucky.
Trump said he's going to put a major tariff on Mexico.
He should. Yeah.
He should. Because of the lettuce, and another on Canada because of wildfire smoke that lingered over the U.S.
Yes.
He said, which would you rather have, the lettuce or the smoke? I think I'll take the smoke, he said. Craig. Craig, how are you, Craig?
How you doing? You know, I'm.
How you doing?
I'm going to be extremely complimentary. It goes against everything I believe in. I love when you interview that basketball coach.
Thank you.
He's always calm, always forthwith, and he could be lying through his teeth, but he sounds like he's honest. I actually like, and I think the more basketball games at Clemson than anybody else, so all you Clemson idiots that want him fired, you are exactly that idiot. I really hope he gets a ring. I root for him to get a ring almost more than the Jets to get a Super Bowl. Every time you interview him, I listen to the whole thing, and I usually turn that stuff off all the time. He's a really, really, really good interview, and I cannot believe I'm being complimentary. It goes against everything I believe in. He must be a special person.
Yeah, no, he is, and obviously I like and respect him, and I think he likes and respects me, and basketball knowledge. So he's always been more than willing to come on this show and talk about it and said those things.
I've been to at least, I don't know, 10, maybe a little bit more, because I try to go to two or three every year. And I've seen him, even games they were losing and they were outmatched. He is a really good basketball coach.
If
watch the game, he's a really good basketball. And get away from the Clemson, Clemson. If you get away from that, I've seen him with less talented teams at Little John do things that were like, he's doing exactly what he's supposed to do. It might not be working because they're more talented, but he's putting his players doing everything exactly what he's supposed to do. And I've seen it multiple times. Not always going to work. The other guys are just better. So if the better players he gets, I really want him to make a run before I leave South Carolina. Anyway, so as you know, now I'm a huge Clemson basketball fan. So awesome. You can apologize to me. you can apologize to him now because he's screwed. All right?
The curse of Greg. You can apologize to him now because he's screwed, Ramona. Craig admitting that he's a curse of sorts. Ramona, I am going to put a video up on my Twitter feed when I get an opportunity that you sort of have to see to believe. It's only like 8 seconds, but let me get to GL first. On the Pratt Injury Lawyers phone line, GL, what's going on, GL?
It's only like 8 seconds. Good day, young man.
How are you, GL? Good to have you, as always.
Oh, man, I'm going to tell you. Friend of mine, Wednesday night, I got a birthday cake, lemon pound cake from the Sweetery.
Awesome.
It is absolutely fabulous. Matter of fact, I'm going to polish off the last piece tonight. But this morning, a friend of mine, dear, wonderful friend of mine who I've known ever since elementary school, invited me over to her house. Kids hug me, you know, all that nonsense. And she fixed me breakfast.
Oh, how about that?
She made me the most fabulous. I mean, most fabulous biscuits and gravy I have ever eaten in my entire life.
Wow! So, GL, you're eating good at 64. You're eating well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it had sausage. It had a pound of sausage, a pound of hamburger in it. She chopped up the onions, hot dog dice,
had all that
cooking in there, threw the peppers in there. Oh, man. And then she made the white gravy mix and added extra pepper because she knows I like it with extra pepper.
Uh-huh.
And then she opened up a can of Beverly Bulk breakfast sausage. I never had this in sausage, and mixed that in there and let it warm up, and she poured the gravy over it. And mixed it up, and some of those her mama made biscuits.
Now, who did you say this was your side chick who did this?
No, this is a friend. This is a friend. She's married, Walt.
I know, but this seems a little extensive for just the friend. It seems a little extensive.
We get along very well.
Yeah,
I introduced her to her husband.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so she said, I'm going to make you breakfast because most of the time I'm bouncing all over the place.
Well, good.
And Walt, that stuff was, I mean, it was enough to make you want to fight. Pick somebody at the station over this stuff.
That's too funny.
You might have.
So you got it made, GL. You got the breakfast. You got the pound cake. You got it. You got it all.
Hey, this stuff was so good. You and Ramona are good friends. But if you'd ate this, you'd kiss Ramona. I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, her husband said, I'll give you a ride home. I said, I'm probably going to need it. I ate 2 plates of that stuff, man. I'm like, I can't move.
Yeah. Maybe she was trying to kill you.
No. She's a good friend, man. I've known her a long time.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
And, you know, her and her husband met through me, so, you know.
Well, good.
But that stuff was, I'm telling you, I'm talking about, Ken ain't high enough to grade this stuff.
Good. I mean, that sounds awesome. By the way, GL, you have any old washing machines you want to sell while you're on air?
No, I don't have any old washing machines. Why? Who needs an old washing machine?
Nothing, man. Nothing. Hey, man, good talking to you as always, GL.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But like I said, man, you need to make your own gravy. You need to make your own.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure I know how to make that, but thank you.
Oh, it's easy, man. It ain't no problem. I mean, just hamburger, sausage, meat, brown that up, throw some peppers and onions in there, brown that up, and mix it, and boil that water, put two packs of white gravy mix over there, heavy on the pepper, and then when it thickens up, drop it over the meat.
There you go. Thank you, GL. Yeah. There you go. The GL recipe of the day, Ramona. That's the GL recipe of the day. 654-7627. Illini J says, stop, you're making me hungry.
Oh, biscuits and gravy, I love that.
Well, it's a special one. Texas said, I love when GL calls. He's absolutely hysterical. He is. What is this? I was going to answer a text, but it disappeared. Okay. We still have a lot to get to before we get out of here today. I want to address a couple other things that were said. I want to take a look at the SEC media picks and for order of finish, suggested order of finish on that deal. But the bottom line is, you know, obviously this team has been sort of besieged by some significant injuries, two of them that extend back into, well, actually, multiples that extend back into last season. But I think all the potential is there for this to be a pretty special bunch and a really exciting team beyond all that. And it's going to be interesting. Again, the defensive rebounding element, Brad having the guards come back, they rebound, they can push the ball. So he believes he can still establish the pace and transition with the guards coming back, probably because of the type of guards they have. You know, you're still going to have to fight. Part of that depends on how much they actually need to get mixed up with the physicality regarding rebounds. I mean, if you're just picking up loose balls and you come back to do that, then, yeah, you can get out in transition. Otherwise, you know, historically speaking, you would like bigs to be able to control the defensive glass and outlet the ball to your guards. But I don't know if Clemson's going to have that luxury, at least until Carter Welling gets back. I did hear some good things there about Will Stevens, though, as a part of that conversation. I'm sorry, what are you saying?
Nothing.
Okay. Okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to start Jason now, and then... No, hold on, Jason, because I'd be cutting you short. I'd rather not do that. I don't want to split your call into two pieces. So instead, Ramona... Do you have the video?
I do.
You do have the video? Okay. The first thing I have to do is somehow stop. There. I got the audio stopped. Okay. All right. Now, what I want to do is this. Okay. Come on. Where is it? Oh, here we go. Here we go. All right, Ramona, I'm going to post this video on my Twitter feed. And we're going to put this up on the Roars page, too. We're to do all that. My man Looper actually sent me this video, Ramona. And I've got to admit, Ramona, this is pretty entertaining. I didn't see this one coming, Ramona. And I thought I just posted it, but why don't I see it? Oh, here it is. Okay, now I get the volume again. Ramona, this is a white rice akebono water park airbag jump, Ramona. This dude weighs... I'm enlarging. Okay. This dude is up on like a diving platform, Ramona. This would be the opposite of Mr. Pavia. I would say this guy is 6'3 and what would you say, Ramona? 1,000 pounds? I'm going to say a good 640. I'm putting his weight at 640 pounds, something of that sort, and he is going to jump off this high platform, Ramona, onto this giant airbag that is in the water down below him, and on the other end of the giant airbag is a woman in a bikini. Or something resembling a bikini. She is at the other end, Ramona.
Now, if you ever thought that you needed rocket fuel to fly or some sort of propeller assistance or something, you would be wrong. You'd be mistaken. You don't need any of that. You just need the white Akebono to dive, to jump off of a high platform onto the airbag that you are standing on. Because, Ramona, how high this woman?
She went really high.
Wind up being shot off into space. I mean,
I wonder if she was worried about how high she was going.
I would think so. I mean, I would think the oxygen was getting the oxygen had to be getting a little bit thin back there. I'm not sure. All right, so here's what we're doing. I'm going to post this. I've posted this on my Twitter feed right now. You can check this out as we get a break. I'm watching it right now. Oh, my God, Ramona. She went. How high? Okay, Ramona, we're assuming she's like 5'6", all right? How high does she go? What did I do here? Okay, here it is. Oh, my God. It's truly unbelievable. She went, what, Ramona, three times as high as the high platform he jumped off?
Yeah.
Two and a half times as high?
Yeah. I mean, I've been worried about the descent there.
Yeah, she needed a parachute.
That's what it looked like.
All right, you can check that out. It's on my Twitter feed. Jason in Columbia, I'm coming right to you on the other side.
If you're online, you've got the roar at your fingertips. From a beach and valley to the Rocky Mountains, you don't have to miss a minute. You can catch your favorite show streaming live on the Roar app or at theroarfm.com at any time. You're on the phone all day, so why not spend that time texting your favorite radio host? Join the party on the Adams & Co. Roofing text line at 864.
Ellie dove into the thing. Right?
I know, I saw that.
I mean, so there's no other living person who was, except maybe Akebono, who is going to project her higher into the air than this dude. It's like some regular schmuck can get up there, and she'd go like 2 feet. It's the fact that this dude ate up the whole airbag. The evacuated space in the airbag is what shot her up into the sky like a freaking rocket, because this dude is like 600 pounds and he's jumping. I mean, first of all, I'm not at all sure about him getting up on that thing. You know what I mean? I mean, I would think there's a weight limit to the board there that he's standing on, to the platform.
That was amazing.
Yeah, to the platform. I mean, how did he get up there to begin with? Maybe that's the question. Jason in Columbia. Jason, it's one of the mysteries of life, Jason.
Well, there are plenty of those. Hey, I really enjoyed the talk with Coach Brownell.
Thank you.
Man, when you know, that Italy trip was already sounding pretty sweet, but when he basically said no scouting, no film, no practice, no walkthrough, I mean, man, that's the life. I tell you what, me and my wife finished watching this, there's multiple seasons of it. We just finished the most recent season of, you know the actor Stanley Tucci? He actually grew up in Italy. And so he has a travel series where he goes around the different parts, and it is just amazing.
Huh.
The variance in the landscapes there. I mean, mountains, oceans, lakes, flatlands, just beautiful rural areas. And then you got obviously you got like some of the most cosmopolitan areas in Europe, like Venice and Rome. But I tell you what, I have not visited Italy yet. It is definitely on my radar. And I think they're actually going to Lake Como for the last game, man. What a trip, man. I mean,
it's just absolutely awesome.
I feel so bad. What a grind Kwok is in now.
Yeah.
Boy,
yeah.
I feel so bad for him.
Yeah.
No, that's
an incredible
amazing
opportunity for the kids. And, I wasn't aware of the professor element. So they take a professor with them to help educate them on the region and the areas and the things they're seeing and feeling and experiencing. I mean, I think that part's awesome, too.
Yeah, and I tell you what, just the meat, or I'm sorry, just the food in Italy, that's right, it's a Freudian slip there, meat. The food in Italy, man, I mean, some of, and although it's funny because, you know, when you watch shows about Italy, you realize in Italy, they're way more into seafood than what we consider in America for Italian food.
Sure.
You know, and obviously they're surrounded by water, so that makes sense. But anyway, no, I was excited to hear some of the stuff he was saying. And you're right. I kind of felt like compared to last time, I got more of a positive vibe on Carter.
Yeah.
Carter Welling. So, man, what a shot. Well,
he was completely noncommittal before on Welling. I mean, it made you wonder whether.
I mean, I think he even brought up the word redshirt.
Right. He did. And so, you know, it was a complete unknown, but. You know, the world changed and Carter is on track and obviously has a great mature work ethic towards it. And I think that, you know, Brad pointed to that his maturity has helped him deal with it and it's advanced his cause. And I mean, that would be unbelievable news. Again, I want to be careful. I'm not trying to suggest to anyone out there, and Brad wanted to be sure of this too. We're not talking about, you know, Carter Welling being back in week two or anything like that. That's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is Carter Welling hopefully being back at some point, and that's what it looks like now. It looks like, so whether that's halfway through the season or two-thirds of the way through the season, look, we lost him right before the tournament last year, and as a result, lost to Iowa. If we got him back, you know, 10 games before the tournament, I'd be fine with that.
Oh, absolutely. And like you said, if I'm thinking about this correctly, with the 5-for-5 rule now,
right,
it doesn't hurt him to come back
right.
and just play
That's
a fraction of the season.
Right.
Yeah. Hopefully that can happen. And I'm excited, like you said, just the athleticism in the backcourt. I mean, that is just going to be something to pay attention to on a nightly basis. I mean, we could just have like one of the more electric backcourts in the ACC.
There's no question. I mean, again, if you go back and look at Foster against Alabama, Alabama's team of athletes. Well, the one guy from Clemson who clearly belonged, and maybe belonged isn't strong enough word, with all of the Alabama athletes was Zach Foster. I mean, he was the pace. He was the speed. When he was lost, it changed who Clemson was. They became more of a half-court basketball team because you lost that element. You know, and I had people writing me, and they're saying, well, Walt, don't you think Foster will play on the wing? I said, no, Foster's going to have the ball. He's your point guard. And I've asked Brad this multiple times. I said, I've had people tell me this, coach, but I'm a full believer that Foster is going to have the ball. And he's absolutely, that's why we recruited him, to have the ball. So, and I don't think anything has changed. It's just the, you know, the progress there is a little bit slower than they had hoped. But that's fine. He doesn't need to play in Italy.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, my man that just called up and his friend was cooking for me. It kind of brought me back to Biz Markie, but you say he's just a friend, but you say he's just a friend. But hey, that's the good life, you know.
We have that in our rejoin somewhere, by the way.
Yeah. Now, speaking of New York legends, Walt, Biz Markie, please tell me, for God's sake, I know before the playoffs or before the finals, you were maybe thinking that this Knicks might only be a one-year window, but, I mean, I'm prematurely triggered by LeBron ring-chasing blatantly and going to be the fourth or fifth option with the 76ers. I mean, just, I can hear Sam a year from now blasting the trumpets when Embiid goes for 50 in the finals and LeBron scores 10 off the bench and, you know, comparing him to Jordan. I assume
LeBron
that you and I
scores
are on the same page
10
here.
Off the bench.
You know, I assume that you and I are on the same page, Watt. LeBron, if he manages to win another ring in Philly, is the, I mean, if they're all healthy, what is he, the third, fourth best option?
Yeah, fourth.
I mean, if Edgecombe is playing well.
Fourth. I said, fourth, maybe fifth, like you said earlier tonight.
Yeah,
He didn't like being the third wheel in L.A. I said, now he's the spare tire.
Yeah, I mean, because, and I've already seen people, if someone texted in to the Quawk Show and they got me a little triggered, they said, well, what's more impressive, you know, winning six rings in one team or winning four, you know, winning at four different places? And I'm going,
God,
wait a minute, man.
Stop.
Okay, Jordan, every year that he won a ring, he was first team All-NBA. He led the league in scoring. He was first team All-Defense. He was finals MVP. And he also retired with the highest final scoring average in NBA history. And he also three-peated twice. And I always think, Walt, that people just gloss over that. And the reason I was asking you where you have Shaq and Kobe individually is because the last time anyone in the NBA three-peated once was Shaq and Kobe. And you're talking about maybe two of the individual. I mean, where do you have them? Both in the top 15? One of them in the top 10, possibly?
Yeah, I think.
You know, playing together.
Yeah, I think Kobe is somewhere around 10, and wherever he is, Shaq would be close behind. I would have Kobe above Shaq.
Maybe two top 12 players.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe two top 12 players all the time playing together, and that was 20 years ago that anyone three-peated. And my man MJ just three-peated twice, and I think people just gloss that over. But anyway, it is an interesting basketball angle. I mean, no doubt about that.
Well, again,
we'll see if Embiid's knees can make it.
Yeah, I mean, he's just chasing a title. You know, he's looking to Robert Horry his way to an additional title. Like, that's somehow going to close a gap on a toss. By the way, while he's chasing and worried about Jordan, he should probably worry about Russell's 11. And I don't know how many years you'd have to play to get to that. But, you know, the thing is.
At this rate, 85,
right,
maybe?
You know, and the thing is, look, this guy sat there a couple of days ago, and he said, look, in the past it's always been basketball, but the real reason, the real thing he's going to be looking for is the best spot for his 12-year-old daughter. I'm sorry, all of that, and you chose Philadelphia for your 12-year-old daughter? Listen, if, again, the right choice for your 12-year-old daughter, I'm sure, by her mind and the way she views it, would have been, Dad has more money than God. He doesn't need to be playing 82-game basketball seasons anymore. He can just come home and be a dad, which he could certainly do. So if his concern was really his 12-year-old daughter, as he said, two things would be true. One, he'd quit and just go home and be with her. Two, he wouldn't have chosen Philadelphia as the place to honor his 12-year-old daughter.
Well, and the other thing, too, is, you know, there's this video floating around, because obviously he did all these podcasts with Nash and J.J. Redick, and all this time, the last several years, he's been making fun of quote-unquote ring culture, because people compare him to Jordan. He's like, I don't understand the obsession with getting rings and blah, 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 and it's like,
the losers always say that.
With a blatant ring chase.
Look at Nick Saban now. Nick Saban's trying to make apologies for the SEC.
Yeah. There's a lot of hypocrisy out there. Hey, last thing, Walt. I know you're going to get into the SEC predicted finishes.
Yep.
Maybe on the other side, if South Carolina finishes 11th, do you think Crying Shane gets the axe? Because that's what they are projected by the media.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Jason. Good talking to you, as always. All right, we'll be right back.
From the first kickoff in Death Valley to the final pitch in Doug Kingsmore, we're your flagship station for Clemson Athletics all year long. The Clemson Athletic Network lives right here on The Roar.
On The Roar,
where every day is game day. More wall-to-wall sports.
Yes!
105.5 and 97.5, The Roar.
If you are a realtor in the upstate of South Carolina, I want to help you close more deals. And here's how I can do that. I'm Mike. I'm the owner of One Tom Plumber, and we are already working with realtors in your area doing the same exact thing. We're the go-to plumbing crew for realtors all across the state of South Carolina because we provide a free same-day quote based on your home inspection report.
Just dial the number one, then Tom Plumber. That's their name. That's their number.
Call the plumber whose name is his number one, Tom Plumber. One Tom Plumber.
Hi, I'm Ashley Moore, co-owner of Poppington's Gourmet Popcorn. Summer is here, and every cookout, pool day, and road trip deserves a better snack option. Poppington's is popped fresh in Greenville using real beef tallow from our family farm, never seed oils, for a rich flavor and perfect crunch you can feel good about. Find us in downtown Greenville at all AMPM Farms Butchery and Market locations, or order online at poppingtons.com. Poppington's Gourmet Popcorn, proudly owned, proudly popped.
Ryan Beasley Law has expanded to serve our clients in more locations. If you face pre-arrest and
something about Nick Saban, you know, through much of his career, Nick Saban has been a disingenuous phony when it comes to things that were self-serving. And he continues to operate in the same way as he promotes an all-SEC agenda, and he just joins right in with the propaganda effort, suggesting that the league is not determined. The strength of the league is not determined by who wins the championship. It's by the depth of the league and all that stuff. This is utter nonsense. Stop buying this crap. I'm sorry. I don't care who says what. It's 100% determined by the national champion. That's horse crap. The only people who make those arguments are people who don't have a national championship. You know, again, what's the only thing that Nick Saban ever cared about? The only thing. The only thing he ever cared about was winning national championships. That's it. He didn't care about a single other thing. He would have killed all his relatives to win a national championship. But now he's going to tell us that that's not really a factor in determining who has the best league by the guy who only cared about getting and passing Bear Bryant? I mean, how ridiculous is that? You know, it's hard to know who's the biggest disingenuous phony associated with the SEC. It's hard to know whether it's Sankey or Saban or Feinbaum or Kiffin or Sarkisian. They're all such disingenuous phonies. It's hard to know what the pecking order of disingenuous phony is. But for Mr. National Championship, Nick Saban, to be trying to make an argument that your league strength is not determined by winning the national championship, it's all that ever mattered to that league. It's all that ever mattered to him personally, to any school he was at. These are lame arguments that losers make. The only time winning a national championship doesn't matter is when you didn't win it and you told us how great you were. When you told us that you deserved all these bids and you told us you were better than everybody else and you insisted on your superiority and then you didn't win. You didn't even compete. You didn't even get to the game. And this is when you move the goalposts. And you start making strength of schedule arguments and depth of conference arguments and Vandy's better than Northwestern. Who friggin' cares? Nobody. Nobody cares about the strength of the 12th best team in your league. Nobody. It is, I don't care who says, oh, well, you know, it's sort of true that this league, you know, that it's really not just a it's always been about the championships. This year is still the good old US of A, where all we care about is champions and championships. And for a league that has always claimed the prime piece of evidence that the SEC has used over time has been their national championships. So now, when the argument no longer works for them because they haven't been competitive in that area, now they're going to move the goalposts and say, oh, the only thing that matters is strength of schedule, and you know, and our 12th team is better than your 12th team. No one gives a rat's a who the best 12th place team is. Nobody. The only thing that matters is championships. Everything else is total hogwash. It's all that ever mattered to the SEC. It's all that ever mattered to Saban personally. The level of disingenuous freaking phony for him to sit up there and say, it doesn't matter, that doesn't matter. It's determined by the depth of the league. Oh, horse bleep. And from that guy, Ramona, from the guy who cared about nothing but winning national championships, who quit because he knew he wasn't going to win anymore with this team. Now that guy is going to tell us the championships don't matter now? That guy? The guy who stayed so he could run down Bear Bryant? That guy? So I have nothing but a whole army full of disingenuous phonies. And it's insidious because we're watching one of the greatest scams ever. We have a whole system, like a third world system here operating. I've got a network that's the propaganda arm for the league that they represent. I've got the same network airing the actual playoff games. I mean, if that's not a conflict of interest, what is? I got an FBI, which is nothing more than the worst propaganda tool and outrageously hideous propaganda tool that has always been utterly laughable, but took that to new heights this year when they were given their marching orders of what they were supposed to project in it. And what they were supposed to project in it was that the SEC has all of these incredible strength of schedules. I'm sorry, did you have those incredible strength of schedules last year? And when you got to the end and you lost to people who allegedly had lesser schedules, that somehow proved your superiority that way as well? I mean, how do you lose, just out of curiosity? So you win when you win and you still win when you lose? So none of those losses at playoff time, well, Kirby already told us. Kirby's part of this too, because Kirby got his marching orders. Kirby told us, after losing last year and failing to make the championship again for the third straight year, Kirby told us, no, you know, it doesn't matter because the SEC's harder than this. I'm sorry, what? Could you say that again, you red-faced buffoon? Could you tell me again how the national championships don't matter? Did they matter when you won the two of them? When you were dancing all over the field and hugging every player, did they matter then? They seem to matter then. It's just now they don't matter. What's changed? Let me think. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. You didn't play in any of those games. So now the league that you won is tougher than the tournament, which you can't win. Hey, that's what you really want to try and tell me? You know, I have heard some laughable nonsense in my life, but I have never heard as much of it from one source as I've heard regarding the SEC and this little powwow. Because this is one of the most orchestrated, laughable ventures I've ever seen. What we are witnessing has been despicable. Despicable self-promotion and propaganda. And you have a system that doesn't work. And yet, despite all that, despite the fact, Ramona, they control that the broadcast network, which airs the playoff games and has the propagandist arm, the FBI, which supports whatever agenda Greg Sankey and the SEC, their bed partner, wants to support. We have all of those things working together to control the message, the imaging, the results, to dictate all of it, and they still can't win. And they still can't win. So now each time they send one of these phonies up to the microphone, it's to repeat and parrot the same message. If you don't think they all got the memo about talking about how 9-3 at our league, I heard multiple coaches say it, 9-3 at our league is better than 11-1 in other leagues. They actually said that. These morons actually said that. The problem is we know it's not true. And we know it's not true because we saw the games. And we saw your great league where you're all playing invincibly tough schedules and where 9 is better than 11. And yet somehow you got your A's handed to you by the 11s. And now you come, Ramona, last year I said, don't ever let these people come back next year and run all this stuff again. Here they are and doing it worse. They don't have a leg to stand on, okay? They know that. They know it's over. They're desperate people, and their grasp on college football is slipping away. And so desperate people do desperate things, and they say ridiculous things. And that's what they're doing. And their messaging is utterly laughable. And their propaganda effort, again, if you think that it was just coincidence that the FBI came out saying 14 of the 15 toughest schedules are in the SEC, which every 8-year-old kid from every state, from every foreign country, you have 8-year-olds in Iran who are saying how stupid this is. That there's no way 14 of 15. And then that's issued right before SEC media days start. And then the first thing Greg Sankey does when he gets up to the microphone is he starts talking about how our incredible strength of schedules and the depth of our league, it just makes us superior. R9 is better than your 11. And then every subsequent coach who goes up there says R9 is better than your 11. You don't think that was my plan? Of course it was my plan. It's the internal memo that these people all had. And the reality is that the only reason they are forced, compelled to push this narrative, this laughable narrative, this demonstrably laughable narrative, is that they have no results to push. See, the reason that championships suddenly don't matter, they don't matter to Kirby Smart, they don't matter to anybody in the SEC, they don't matter to Greg Sack. The reason they don't matter is because they don't have any of them. That's the reason they don't matter. The reason they don't matter is because they can't even play their way to the game. I mean, the absolute abject absurdity of a team that got 5 of the 10 major college conference berths to the playoffs and couldn't even get to the game, having half the field, for that league to come back the next year and try and suggest to people that we're still better than everybody else. Yeah, we don't even get to the game anymore, but we're still better because we play all these incredibly tough strengths of schedule that is only determined by playing each other. But in the oxygen of the real world, where they actually have to play other people, it was proven that their strength of schedule is laughable, that it's vastly overrated. I mean, this is truly an effort at mind control. That's what it is. They don't have anything left. So they have to push this nonsense. They have to change the entire narrative. They have to create a new narrative. Because it used to be that this league celebrated their championships and rubbed them in your face. We're better because we win all the championships. Now that they don't even get to the game, now they want to tell you, we're better because we play each other. We saw what playing each other really meant last year. It meant nothing. It meant absolutely nothing. And now, I have just heard a series of the most disingenuous, phony, bull blank arguments I have ever heard. And it has all been contrived and orchestrated. And we are gullible if we buy into any of this. Because it's all utterly laughable. Comical, even. I'll see you Monday.
WCCP-FM 105.5 Clemson. Greenville Anderson. WAHD-AM.